God's grace and his mercy and his peace belong to you. From God our Father, through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear friends, does family matter? I wish that family would bring warm fuzzies to each and every heart and mind here today. But my guess is that the reality of sin in our world has jaded for some of us family, and that family has some challenges. But my guess is we would also agree that the very fact that family brings challenges in this world is proof to us that in this life, family matters. I think of Kim Miller, a fourth grader in South Dakota in 1973. Kim Miller would sit on the church steps every day after school waiting for her father to come and pick her up. Usually, he was on time, I think. But I remember one day late in the fall when it was cold and getting dark outside, and there was Kim sitting on the bottom step of the church waiting for her dad all by herself. My family actually invited her into our house that night, and she appreciated the companionship and the warmth. But you could tell that it just did not replace and fill the emptiness of waiting for dad in the cold. You see, family matters. Fast forward 35 years, and I think of my own daughter waiting for her dad at Wisco after a musical rehearsal on a dark, cold winter night. I was the dad, and I loved my daughter. But I had had a long day, and I was caught up in my own world, and I was three-fourths of the way home to Cedarburg before that call came from my wife that I had pulled a Kim Miller and forgotten my kid. Not out in the cold, but waiting for a dad who was not arriving, who was not arriving, who was not arriving. And to this day, I can get a little teary if I think about it, because in this life, family matters. Back in August, my Uncle David went home to heaven to be with Jesus. And in my boyhood, he was my hero. In my adulthood, he was just about my best friend. Together, we loved our Jesus, and we sang his praises, and we shared his wisdom. Beyond that, we talked things like alfalfa and soybeans and the number of deer and turkeys we'd seen since our last travels. He was a farmer, I was a pastor, and it all worked. And I miss what family gives. Because you see, in this life, family matters. This Lenten season, we are focusing in on temptation. Its source, its causes, and its resolution, its remedy in Jesus Christ. And guess what? Jesus wants us to know that in the midst of temptation, family matters. Let's rehear the words of John 8, 42 to 47. Jesus said to those Jews who did not believe in him, "If God were your father, you would love him, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." These are the words of our Savior. In the midst of temptation, do you trust the heart of your Heavenly Father? And do you know the heart of the alternative father? For in the midst of temptation, family matters. Dear friends, do you trust the heart of your Heavenly Father? Trust in a father is pretty key to family mattering. And our adoptive Father in heaven has a pretty amazing heart. His heart is filled with love, and his heart is all about you, and his heart is all about me. The Bible says God is love. Think about that. You and I might say of somebody else that he or she is such a loving person, but the Bible says that our Father is love. Love so permeates and fills his being that in eternity our Father decided to create us and to share his love with us. And even when he saw ahead that we would fall into sin, that we would reject him, and that we would die in our sins, his love did not crumple up the canvas of his creation design. Instead, he painted into it, he wrote into it a Savior, sending his own Son. Can you and I trust the heart of a God who would put us first and love us enough to take care of our sin problem and to achieve for us eternal life? Can you and I trust a God who would put in the time to love us as he does? When I was growing up, one of the most precious times of our day was supper time and family devotion. We pretty much had the evening meal together every day, followed up with the dessert of the Word of God, but yes, we were German, so there was also real dessert and then better dessert with the Word of God. Our parents would encourage discussions about life, about God, and about our place in that mix. And our parents taught us to trust the heart of the Father, to trust the heart of the Father because he actually sent his Son to die. And somehow in the midst of the temptations of life, that family connection they taught us has mattered. For you see, in the midst of temptation, it is critical to know that the heart of our loving Father also translates into a tender voice. And our parents taught us to hear the heart of our God. Have you ever wondered what the voice of God sounded like in the garden in the cool of the day, that day when we fell into sin? Adam, where are you? In Genesis 3, you and I are privileged to see a good parent, to hear a good parent at work. And I want to trust that when I am in temptation and when I fall into sin, that the Father's voice is tender in my life. When his voice is needed in my life through my wife or through my children or through my friends, the Father's voice calling me out, I want to trust and believe that my Father's voice is tender even when he calls me out in my sin.
The Messiah that people expect him to be.
Nathan, why are you doing that? Have you eaten of the tree? Have you grabbed hold of the thing I have denied to you for your good? For you see, in the midst of temptation, when I have fallen, temptation is still thick in the air. Temptation to lie through my teeth, to throw anybody and everybody else under the bus but me, rather than to fess up and say I did it. Fear, when we are caught red-handed, can cause us to be blind to the love of the heart of our Father in heaven and to cause us to miss the tenderness of his voice when he calls us out. Jesus says in our text, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. If God were your Father, you would love me, for I have come from God, he told the Jews. And you and I know the Father's heart, that God is love. I will never forget the night when the policeman came up behind us with his flashlight through the trees. I was 12. The scene, Watertown, Wisconsin. Water Tower Hill, across the street from now Luther Prep School. I was with five other young men of God out there in the dark of the middle of the night. We were supposed to be camping in the backyard, but truthfully, at that moment, we were listening to the voice of a different father. We'll circle back to him in a moment. We were having fun at the expense of other people, and the officer had us dead to rights, and he knew it. I will never forget my fear, and I will never forget how my sinful nature just was desperate to squirm out of this situation. The officer could have made life really tough for us and taught us a big lesson. He could have hustled us to his squad car, called our parents. But instead, the officer let us squirm. And then he talked to us. And then he sent us back to our tents with a stern admonition to behave ourselves. And my parents to this day still do not know that that took place, unless God has told them in heaven. But to this day, I wonder if that wise officer was a Christian. For now, I think I hear the voice of my father, Nathan, Martin, John, Michael, Hans, what are you doing? Why is it so important? And why does our Heavenly Father and his heart of love step into our lives? And why is there a tenderness in his voice, even in his anger with his children at times over our sin? And why is it that in the end, all of us will truly come to appreciate how much family matters in the midst of temptation? Well, do you realize that everyone on this planet has only one of two spiritual fathers? Either your father is the Almighty God whom you love, or your father is the devil himself, and there is no in between. So just as we know the heart of our Heavenly Father, it is wise for us to be aware of the heart of the Father of Darkness and his MO, how he operates, and what, and to what end. Hear what Jesus says again. The devil was a murderer from the beginning. And it's interesting, the Greek word for murderer is man-killer. The devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. He is a liar, and the father of lies, he is the father of lying. Brothers and sisters, the devil's end game is simple. He wants you and me dead eternally, forever cut off from our God, right along with him. And he is literally hell-bent on doing whatever it takes to kill us, to make us dead forever. So in the midst of temptation, it is healthy for us to recognize the family connections and how the devil and his children operate. Ignoring the heart and the voice of God. Of the satanic family, Jesus says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires that lead to the spiritual death of people. So, my friends, how does the devil operate? It's important for us to be aware so that we see. And well, for starters, he is predictable. So let's take a look back at the garden. Let's take some mental notes in our minds before we head back out into the midst of temptation. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. My friends, the devil always disguises himself as something that might be okay for us. The Hebrew really implies that the serpent was the most gifted of all the animals of God. And so, hey, maybe snakes talk might have been what Eve was thinking in the newness of her world. Disguise. The serpent said to the woman, "Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" My friends, the devil always seeks to create doubt in what exactly is the Father's will as he tries to squeeze his way into our hearts. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman. My friends, the devil always seeks to disagree with our God, so as to put in our minds doubt of the Lord's love for us in our lives. For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. My friends, the devil always also works to deceive by working his magic with half-truths. Just enough plausible truth to get us to bite. But you and I need to remember his heart. He wants nothing to do with truth, and he is a murderer. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Let us not be blind, my brothers and sisters, to the devil's tactics, for they never change. He always works to create desire in our hearts that is contrary to the desire of our God, and a desire that thinks we know better how to use the blessings he has given in his creation. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves, and they hid from the sound of the Lord God in the garden. Adam, where are you? Do you know what will be the greatest joy in heaven? It will be waking up every day not being afraid of our God, and not being fearful concerning sin. For you see, the father of lies and the murderer of mankind only has one goal in mind, and that is to hurt, and that is to destroy us. And that happens through sin. The devil is angry that Jesus died for our sins and restored us to a place at the Father's table in the family of God through faith. And since that day in the garden, he has been working mighty hard to get us to change our allegiance, to give up on the family of God, to listen to a different voice, to follow the heart of a different father. But let us never forget that the heart and the voice of the Father from hell always comes with a trailing hook. No matter how tempting, how beautiful, how awesome the prize, the hook is always the same. Jesus told the Jews just prior to our text, "Whoever sins is a slave to sin. If sin is who we are, then God is who we are not, and the devil just gleefully reels us in on a barbed hook that we just cannot shake." Now, my friends, let us not be deceived by the devil's biggest lie. He holds in his war chest this weapon to bring out at just the right time that somehow the sin of a child of God who knows better, who knew the commandment and broke it anyway, that somehow that sin is too big for God to forgive, somehow too big, and it's outside of the love of our Father in heaven. And there may be a day when we have asked or will ask ourselves, is there hope for the child of God caught in a sin? Is there no shaking of that barbed hook as the devil is reeling us to a different home? Well, our Jesus came into this world knowing full well the heart and the hatred, the lies and the deceit of Satan. And so when he went to the cross to die for our sins, he didn't die just for some of them, he died for all of them. So that he could declare to us, whoever believes in me will not perish, but has eternal life. Our Jesus knew the hook would come. He knew that Satan would say to us, your sin is too big this time for the Father to forgive. He has run out of patience, and you are mine. Well, prior to our text, Jesus said more. He said, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin, but if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. My dear friends, you and I cannot on our own shake the hook of the devil's temptations. But our Jesus did for you and me. It is finished. Cut the line. He is not here. He is risen. Is engraved on the family crest. Forgiveness is how this family rolls. And in the midst of temptation, family matters. And you've got to love the family of God. So in his time, Jesus will come to pick us up, and he will not be late. Our Jesus will never forget us, no matter how deeply the hook is embedded. And our Jesus will always lead with love. For that is the nature of our Father in heaven. Amen. Please stand.